Well, those of you who were here last Sunday will remember Steve Allen speaking on a passage in Colossians chapter 1. Jesus, the image of the invisible God, in whom all the fullness of God dwells. The word image here, meaning not just a blurred copy, but exactly the same as. So Jesus is exactly the same as the invisible God. He reveals perfectly what God is like. We cannot see God, but we can see him in Jesus, who was fully God as well as being fully man. And we can see God's character lived out in the life of Jesus. So today we hear in chapter 2 from Colossians that as we are followers of Jesus, we can know the fullness of God because we are given that fullness in Christ. Paul is writing here to people who were established and growing as a church, and there was much to give thanks for. If you read the whole letter to the Colossians, which doesn't take very long, it's worth sitting down and reading in one go. If you read the beginning of it, he is very thankful for their growth and their life and their love. But he was concerned because they were coming under pressure from some quarters to think that only by gaining special knowledge or having a special mystical experience or by following particular religious practices, could they become mature or proper Christians? It sounds like they were being influenced by Gnosticism, which was a philosophy that promoted special knowledge mixed with some legalistic ideas from Judaism about ceremonial practice and food laws. And Paul's writing is responding to what was going on in Colossae at that time. Some have called this the Colossian heresy. The implication being that assurance of salvation, of being able to have a relationship with God, was somehow out of reach to them unless they had some special mystical experience or knowledge, as if something more than faith and trust in Jesus Christ was required. It was undermining the very person of Christ and his achievements on the cross. Some would say that we have our own versions of this sort of thing today. In church practice and traditions, there are some people who insist that you must worship God in a particular way or wearing particular clothes or moving in particular ways. And there are some people who think there's only one way to express their faith. And as we're also under a bit of pressure with secular practice focused on self-fulfillment and enlightenment. So those sort of influences that were around in those days when Paul was writing are also with us today. Paul is saying in this passage, no, you have the very fullness of God already. He says, you have been given fullness in Christ. You have already received it. So don't let anyone place restrictions on you. You can receive God's presence fully in you, just as you are now, because you are those who believe and trust in Jesus. He uses that term in Christ. He uses it quite a lot in his writing. What does that term in Christ mean? It means to have the very essence of God living within you. It means God being at home in you, God belonging in your life, and you belonging in God's life. It's something that believers already have when they come to faith, when they are baptized. And it's what we believe will happen to those being baptized later on this morning in the second service. God does something special. He touches people inside. He fills them with his spirit, changes something within. It's what St. Paul calls in this reading the circumcision done by Christ. That means a sign of commitment and a spiritual change within. We come alive spiritually in a new way because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, the power of God being demonstrated in Jesus rising from death. Paul says, those who believe are now in Christ. At baptism, the old way of life is past, and we are given new life in Christ. We express it externally with the water, but deep work is going on. Something life-changing happens within us. In the promises that are made by baptism candidates, or the parents and godparents of those who are too young to say for themselves, they say they turn to Christ. That means they look to him, trust him, receive forgiveness from him for the wrong things that they've done and will do in the future, because we're all human and we continue to get it wrong at times. There is great freedom and liberation in knowing that this past and future forgiveness is possible. So this is what is given to all of us who believe and trust in Jesus, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. We don't need any special knowledge or religious practice to be sure of our salvation. But how do we continue to live and grow as Christians? Practical as always, St. Paul describes three ways in which we should live and grow. This is the way ahead, he says. This is how to walk with Jesus and go deeper with God. Firstly, he says, live in him. Jesus has made you spiritually alive, so receive that life. Hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Believe it. Accept that he is Lord of your life. Live it out. What does it mean to receive something? Like a gift, we need to actually unwrap it and use it and incorporate it into our lives to receive it. Not just leave at arm's length or put it on a shelf out of the way. The second thing he says is you are to grow in him. Young Christians are to be rooted in Jesus. That means to have their foundations in Jesus. But they are also to grow like a flourishing plant. That means getting nourishment from the right places, reading the right things, especially the Bible, coming to church, learning from the sermons, worshipping God, spending time in prayer, and valuing Christian fellowship. And the third thing he says is be built up in faith. Grow in understanding. Become established as you learn more about Christian faith and live it out. Move out of the shallows and go deeper with God. Let him touch all of your life. And this, of course, is a challenge and a message for all of us, however long we've been coming to church and however long we have had faith in Christ. And did you notice that in verse 7, when St. Paul was writing about continuing to live in Christ, being rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith by good teaching, a mark of this is that they are overflowing with thankfulness. So let's look out for what nourishes our sense of thankfulness. So Christians have been given fullness in Christ, and this is how they should continue to flourish as Christians. Live in him, grow in him, be built up in faith. You could say it's a process of lifelong learning. And one of the key areas that we need to continue learning about is prayer. In our gospel reading, Jesus was asked by his disciples to teach them how to pray. It sounds like John the Baptist had given them a formula for prayer, and they said, well, we want your pattern for prayer. See how relational it is. He says, address God as Father. Acknowledge who he is. He is holy, to be worshipped above all else. We long for his kingdom to come. And then in today's reading, we hear St. Luke's emphasis on persistence and God's willingness to give what is needed to sustain life. Ask him, be bold, keep asking, and God will give us the good gift of his Spirit who brings life and freedom. He uses those famous words, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Sometimes, of course, It doesn't feel as simple as that. There's a real dilemma, isn't there? We probably all know of people whose prayers haven't been answered, who have been persistent, who have felt sure that their prayer has been in line with all that brings spiritual life and blessing, and yet the outcome isn't what they'd hoped for. We can begin to doubt our relationship with God. Are God's promises for other people and not for us? Have we done something wrong? We can feel a profound sense of disappointment. I don't have any easy answers, but I can say that if we find ourselves in this situation, we need to be real. We need to be honest with God and tell him how it feels. It might be helpful to open up to some trusted friends so that we don't become isolated, as Jesus did with his closest disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane in his prayer of anguish. Jesus' example at that time was to continue in prayer, to trust in his relationship with God, his Father, to say, "All things are possible for you." And he knew that God was with him as he went through that pain, and we can know that God is with us as we go through the pain of unanswered prayer. There are some things that we won't understand this side of eternity, and they are hard to bear. We just have to hold on in faith and trust, knowing that God does not ever let us go. So to sum up, what is the message from our readings today? Remember who Jesus is, the image of the invisible God, who gives us everything, the very fullness of God, in Christ. Keep looking to Jesus. Remember St. Paul's advice to keep growing, to be nourished by the right things, to live in Christ, to grow in him, and to do what we can to be built up in faith. And pray, remembering that we pray to a God who longs to give us good things, and don't give up, even if our prayers seem to remain unanswered. Amen.